We're going to Florida. Boom shakalaka, boom shakalaka. We're going to Florida. Boom shakalaka, boom shakalaka.
Halloween Horror Nights in late September, press of 93 were dubbed as the third annual Universal Studios Florida Halloween Horror Nights, though this year there would be some changes, and none more so than the return of Jaws. Dunnin, 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 dunnin. It's a shark. Oh no, it's Paul Washington. How are you, sir?
good. Looking forward to some spooky goings on.
Spooky goings on indeed. So, Halloween Horror Nights, the third annual, The Shark Bites Back, the third chapter of Chris's book, The Halloween Horror Nights Unofficial Story and Guide. So there you go. And that's that. Right. See you next month, boys and girls.
just that little bit of the chapter. That's all we're going to talk about.
Yeah. So this third Halloween Horror Nights, Jaws is back up and running.
Finally.
And the queue and the queue area, and I think the ride had added things like fog, and it was running in the night and stuff like that. Proper eerie, proper scary. Let's see what else I've pulled. Have you got anything that you've pulled from the chapter?
Let's have a look and see whether I can find anything.
They had missed the summer season, but Universal were not about to repeat the mistakes of the past and open a ride that was not perfect. The date was set for the official opening of the 1st of October 1993, ready for celebrities of opening day to return and cut the ribbon once more. So Steven Spielberg had been evacuated allegedly the first time, but on the 1st of October it comes back. At this event, the Rat Woman is back.
Yeah. The people under the stairs also returned.
Yeah.
Which we reviewed on the last show.
Certainly did. Smith, who was a large man with long, natural, scraggy beard, debuted with his collection of real roaches in the People Under the Stairs house, which returned that year. So there's actually a gentleman in that house with a load of cockroaches. They are the dirtiest creature. Absolutely violent, horrible, vile things. Hate them so much. What else have we got? So it was by October the 15th that all the fears could be laid to rest. Then other fears renewed when the event started, when Universal officially announced that the popular Halloween event would be back for the third time to run 5 nights. From the 23rd, 24th, 29th, 30th and 31st of October. So it was a 5-night event. They started planning it in the February. I would imagine probably now they start planning it as soon as the last one ends, or even before the last one ends. There's still no scare zones yet. They still weren't a thing. But they did have a sword swallower, a fire eating contortionist, a chainsaw drill team, and the Dead High School Cheerleading Squad. That marked the first outing of the Halloween Horror Night tradition, that of the Chainsaw Drill Team, and they're still there today. Andy.
Yeah, they certainly are. They got us a few times the last time over there, if I remember rightly.
Yeah.
Down in good. The Simpsons area, they got us.
It's good to people watch, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, get yourself a beer and sit off. Yeah, they're brilliant. So there was obviously the people under the stairs that year, but there was also a Psycho House because...
Yeah.
Psycho, was it Psycho 3? Psycho 4? Yes.
Might have been Psycho 4.
Now, I think there's five Psycho films, isn't there? One of them was a TV movie.
Yeah. One of them was a shot-for-shot remake of the original.
Yeah.
With Vince Vaughn playing Norman. Directed by Gus Van Sant, if I remember rightly.
Is that the one with Anne Heche's butthole?
Yes, I think so.
Yeah. Anne Heche's butthole. Let's all go inside. Yeah. The horror drama movie was both the third sequel and a prequel to the original movie, as it includes both events from Psycho 3. So this, right, the actual set from the TV movie of Psycho 4, The Beginning, the direct-to-TV movie had been the final official sequel to the original 1960 movie. So there you go. And it was the last to star the leading man, Anthony Hopkins. The horror drama
Anthony
movie,
Hopkins? We got...
Anthony Perkins, even.
We've got Hannibal Lecter in Psycho now.
Imagine that. The horror drama movie was both the third sequel and a prequel to the original, as it included both events from Psycho 3, whilst focusing on flashback events that took place prior to the original film. It was the first broadcast on Showtime Cable Network on November the 10th, 1990. So they had a Psycho House, and that's what we're going to talk about on this episode.
But before we move on, there was also, for the first time, a third house.
Oh,
well.
Go on.
The Slaughterhouse.
Yes.
Was thrown in there as well. So we've got two IPs and one in-house maze this year. And I believe that's the only time it's ever been used. I can't see it anywhere else. I think it was a one-off that year. So, yeah. And they've got, obviously, a couple of shows. Bill and Ted was there in its second incarnation. Robosaurus was there again. He'd been there for a couple of years. But, yeah, we're going to concentrate on Psycho.
Psycho. Now, I'll let you go first, I think.
Yeah, do we want to do some facts?
Oh, yeah, do some psycho facts, you psycho
bastard. Facts and figures.
Psycho bastard.
It got an 8th of September 1960 US release. Was released here 7 days later. So it was quite close together. It had a budget, get this, of $806,947.
Wow.
Do you want to take a guess how much it made?
Oh, God, this is going to be dead hard because it's 1960. Oh, 10, 24 million.
32 million.
Wow.
It made. And we'll touch on that a little bit more as to why that was a good thing for certain people. Hitchcock loved the score so much that he tripled the composer's wage.
That's nice, isn't it?
Yep. Walt Disney refused Hitchcock permission to film at Disneyland because of this film, because of how bad it was. Hitchcock actually only paid $9,000 for the rights to the book that it was based on. Hitchcock actually gave up his salary and took 60% of the profits.
Good for you, lad.
Which amounted to more than $15 million.
He obviously had it. He was onto a winner, wasn't he?
Yep, which today would take him to about $135 million if it was today.
Jesus.
For inflation. They actually only gave Hitchcock that paltry budget because Paramount didn't like the material that it was based on. They tried to convince him not to do it. The book was inspired by the real-life serial killer Ed Gein. He's been used as the inspiration for quite a few films over the years. A nice behind-the-scenes thing, chocolate syrup was used as fake blood, as it showed up in the black and white. Janet Leigh only worked on the film for 3 weeks, and one of those weeks consisted of only of the shower scene.
Wow.
It was actually the highest grossing movie of Hitchcock's career.
Okay.
Eventually, he gave up his profit earning for shares, and he became Paramount's third highest shareholder by doing that. Three actresses recorded dialogue for Mrs. Bates, and they were all combined.
Oh.
The film has had a variety of ratings from PG to R over the years.
I can see that, yeah.
The film came about after plans for Hitchcock to make a film with Audrey Hepburn fell through. It was Hitchcock's final Oscar nomination. And multiple actresses were considered for Marion, including Angie Dickinson, Lana Turner, and Jean Simmons, not the one from Kiss.
What's been a good film now?
So that's my facts for Psycho.
Okay. What are your thoughts on it then?
So this is kind of one that holds dear to me. I've not seen it that many times, but mainly because of what it means to Universal Studios Hollywood.
Yeah.
Because it's still standing. The house is still there. The original house is still there. The original motel is still there. So it does hold quite a lot for me because of that. Universal in Hollywood was my first theme park before Disney or anything. So it's always held quite a high place for me, despite the fact that I've not seen it that often. So yeah, that's kind of where it starts from for me. But then getting into like the main crux of the story, the credits are very Hitchcockian. There's no doubt if you just saw the credits and didn't know what it was, you'd know that was an Alfred Hitchcock film. I said, I wonder what he would think about all the sequels, prequels, and remakes. Yeah. He doesn't kind of come across as the sort of person that would have been particularly happy about things like that. We know what a grumpy old man he was. I said the opening track really sets the stage.
When did he die?
It wasn't long after. I'm not sure. I thought it wasn't that long afterwards. Let's see when he... because he was ill while they were filming.
Okay.
Yeah, he didn't die until 1980, so it was 20 years later.
Yeah.
So we would have seen some of the sequels that were made, but yeah, by the time it got to like the prequels and the remakes, I wonder what he would have thought. So I said I could see why the film board would want him to make so many cuts from the word go. It's very much, there's a lot of things that back then you can imagine would have been difficult to have kept in. So obviously Alfred always causing scandal, as he always did. I thought the opening bits were all really quite creepy, and we haven't even met Norman. Yeah. We don't meet Norman until like 40 minutes into the film.
Yeah.
I said Janet Leigh spent an awful lot of time in her bra.
Oh, yeah.
And if you notice that she starts wearing a white bra, and by the time she's taken all the money, she's wearing a black bra. That was on purpose.
Oh.
I'd completely forgotten the the whole stealing storyline and how she ends up there. You obviously always remember the motel and the house and everything. But I said Janet Leigh wasn't the most gifted actor. She performed a lot of smell the fart acting at times where she seems to have forgotten her lines. Then I said, oh, come on, I'm not buying that. Firstly, the copper didn't stop her. The guy in the car dealership didn't stop her.
Yeah.
When they quite clearly knew that there was something wrong.
Yeah, definitely.
I thought the car driving in the bad weather felt really typical Hitchcock. Really, he's kind of the pioneer of that behind the car, like film moving behind them, they're moving. That was one of the things that that always seemed to stand out with his films. I said, amazing how little has changed with the Bates Motel to this day, some 60 years later. It's instantly recognisable as soon as you see it.
Is it just creosoted to within an inch of its life, or have they replaced all the wood?
I think they've replaced bits and pieces of it as the years have gone on. It probably isn't even the same building at all.
Trigger's Broom.
But it's not even in the same spot. They have moved it.
Yeah.
It's basically bits have been replaced as they've gone along. I thought that Norman, when we first meet him, seems so innocent.
Yeah, so young, isn't he?
Yeah. Then her agreeing to have dinner with him after like 30 seconds of meeting him.
Yeah.
I thought was just bizarre. I always wondered with that scene, when he goes back to the house and mother's screaming at him, it makes you think that she is very much still alive.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So it kind of implies that he's now just killed her, but by the time we meet her, quite clearly she's been dead for a long time.
Yeah.
The taxidermy thing, that creeps into, I don't know whether you saw Bates Motel, the TV series.
No.
That's a big thing throughout that series about him learning how to do taxidermy.
Yeah, I mean, I sort of want to watch all the Psychos now. And that TV series, because that series is finished now, hasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. So, was it cancelled or did it just finish its story?
I think it finished its story.
Yeah, so that is potentially something that I'd quite like to watch.
Yeah. I thought she settled into being friendly with someone who clearly has issues far too quickly.
Yeah.
You can tell that there's something wrong with him right from the word go.
Yeah.
Even if you didn't know the story, there's something off about him. And for that, I wrote, what a great performance by Perkins, because he is brilliant in that role. Absolutely superb. Then I said, I love the fact that they placed her in a position of power, standing over him, when quite clearly he is literally building a plan to kill her at this point. And then I write, Norman is a dirty boy.
Paving.
As he's, poking his nose through the hole in the wall.
The massive hole in the wall that you couldn't not see.
I said, the shower scene is still gratuitous, but it has to be there. The film wouldn't work without it. And then I write, here's Mother.
Yeah.
And it is weird. It's quite clearly, you know, that's not his mother.
Yeah.
Because it really does not look like a woman at all. And then I said, it's quite amazing that scene happens halfway through the film. It feels like that should be like coming towards the end that happens, but it isn't. It's halfway through the film. Yeah. And we've still got a whole load more story to come. I said, I'm not going to lie, Anthony Perkins was a very handsome man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then I wrote, oh, the often replayed removal of the body. They perform that removal probably 100 times a day at Universal Studios.
After
of him carrying the carrying the body out and putting it in the back of the car.
Genius.
So that's I've seen that many a time, and then he chases after the tram once he spots you. Then I wrote, this isn't Norman's first rodeo. Mm. Quite clearly, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah,
and that's he's done it before. The leaned in shot of him eating when the camera's right in his face and he's putting the food in his mouth is just plain weird. So his personality switches on a dime. Like, he can be that innocent guy that we met when she arrived to the weirdo that we've seen creep out later on. The falling down the stairs is ridiculous. It's hilarious when they're quite clearly not even moving.
Yeah,
and they're just going down the stairs. I also find it weird, but strange that we still don't get a reveal that Norman is his mother for ages.
Yeah.
Then I wrote about the strange that mother seems to have been dead for 10 years once we actually do meet her, because the earlier scene implies that she's very much alive. Once we get to the search, it kind of goes quite Pleasantville. That everybody's like, oh no, nothing's happened. Everything's fine. Don't worry about it. We'll find her. She's probably gone home. Don't worry. I thought the two that played the sisters were quite good parents. I thought they were quite alike in many ways. I said Hitchcock's filming techniques were completely out of this world. He was so ahead of his time. And I said there's so much detail for a black and white film.
Yeah.
And a format that doesn't normally allow that in black and white. So it's quite clever. Then we finally get the reveal that it's him. I said, if it wasn't such a classic film that everyone knows the story of, it's a proper twist once we do find out that it's actually him that's been doing it, and it's not mother. I said, what is with Perkins' face when Sam catches him? That smiling shot of Norman is terrifying, which has been used in so many things over the years. When he kind of looks up and smirks at the camera, it's just horrible. I wrote a real classic thriller up there with Hitch's best, with a stunning performance from Perkins. I gave it 87 out of 100.
Did I write down a score? No, I didn't. But it's a decent score, no less. I'll crack on with mine. Super excited to see this movie for only the second time in my life. And I only watched it, I think, last year, or the year before. Names at the start, but with that driving music, sort of want to watch the remake for Anne Heche's Butthole.
There you go.
The 11th of December, 1443. So that was the time and the date. Should be Psycho Day. 60s chicks are hot as are 1960s pack lunch. Psycho is sponsored by aspirin. Tom is a wanker. £40,000 cash sale. What's she playing at? No bank and packing. Oh no, the policeman's glasses are too small for his head. Everything looks new.
So that is, I think that alludes to what you said about getting the best out of the black and white and everything. Everything is pristine. It's just $700 for the new car. That's 2 days spent at Halloween Horror Nights of Puck. Love the 1960s equivalent of a montage. So that's the driving montage with the, like what you said, the footage behind. Moving the story on, and there's the hotel. Oh, shoot, there's Mother. He definitely didn't speak then, showing her in. So I think that was a scene where they overdubbed his dialogue. His mouth isn't moving as he's showing her in to the to book on. Sandwiches and milk. Does Mother have a megaphone?
And that's what I mean. It was so very loud and quite distinct that it does make you think that there's someone else there.
It's so loud. Stuffed animals creep me out. That's the worst hole in history. Huge. So that's the peeping hole.
Yeah.
Literally could have put his head in. Obviously, it's for the camera to get the shot through it, but bloody hell, it was whole. That water pressure is amazing. I've puffed the shower.
Yeah. For Southern California, they were getting their shower pressure zooped up.
And then she takes a while to die, doesn't she?
Yeah, and that's kind of where the smell of the fart acting comes in, because she kind of goes and looking around like, when do I die? When do I die?
So I put, she's still alive. Dragging the body out reminds me of one of our great Danes that died. I can still hear the body getting dragged out. Brutal. So I was lying in bed. And my dad got up for work one morning. He used to do 12-hour shifts. So he was in work 6 till 6. So he gets up 5 o'clock and goes downstairs and the dog's dead. And and it's a Great Dane. So it's like a fucking human being. And he had to, before we got up, he had to drag the body out, put it in the boot of the car. And he took the dog to work with him dead and then took it to vets for cremating. When the detective turns up, Bates is unraveling. That smile at the detective as the detective drives off, shit, that detective's murder. That was quite brutal. And then Mrs. Bates is dead, and that is the last note that I had. This is as close to perfection as you can get for movie making. When you analyse it, there's very little gore in it. You know, it's all implied, isn't it? It's all in the mind. It's all in the eye of the beholder, so to speak. It's an absolute masterpiece. I want to see how they ruin it by doing Psycho 2, Psycho 3, Psycho 4, and then I get the feeling they bring it back with the TV series and rescue it to some degree.
Yeah, definitely. I enjoyed it. I haven't finished all of it, but yeah, I think I've seen about 3 seasons. That's still on my list to finish.
How many seasons is there?
I think they did 5.
Is it one of these 24?
No, I think it was 12, 13 for the most part.
Oh, that's not too bad then. Yeah, it's definitely, I'm going to say 93, because it's brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant. There we go. I haven't read chapter 4 of Chris's book yet. I always read the chapter in preparation 3 months before the fucking record of the podcast. But I'm not going to say we'll do it more regular, but I'm going to say we'll try and watch the film and then record the podcast when we do get down to it.
There's again, it's only Psycho next, the following year.
Okay.
But Bill and Ted did have a theme. It had a change of name.
Oh, okay.
Bill and Ted Meet Time Cop.
Oh, so I've never seen
Time Cop.
Yes, I've never seen Time Cop.
So I reckon we watch Time Cop.
Yes.
For the next one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm down with that. Fantastic. I've never seen it. Okay.
I haven't. That was my brother was of that era of films, so he was watching Arnie films, Stallone films, and Van Damme films. So that was in the collection, and I must have seen it a long time ago, probably maybe early teens or even younger.
I remember seeing it in the video shop,
and
just never watching it. So I'm made up. It did come up in conversation the other day on another podcast. I thought the same.
Let's see where it is. See if we have easy access to it. I'm sure we must have.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Have a look if it's on Amazon. Amazon Prime. It's on Prime.
Oh, is it? Oh, good. Let's have a look. Let's add it to my viewing list then. Time Cop. Oh, Time Cop 2 as well. Here we go. I tell you what, there's some Boss Prime stuff. Oh, there you go. There's the opening. 15. Excellent. Sound made up with that. So, thanks for listening. Thanks for sticking with us. Thanks for subscribing. Thanks for following us on the Apple Podcast app and all that jazz.
All that jazz.
We're on Twitter, aren't we? HHN or something or other. I can't remember. We're the slackest fucking Halloween Horror Nights podcast out there, aren't we? HHN Pod. That's who we are on Twitter. So come and give us some abuse if you think you're hard enough. Cue the music.
Someone will.
Cue the fucking music, lovies. Lavies. Cue the fucking music.
This podcast is part of the After Dark Podcast Network.